It is certainly a great blessing to be here with you again at Grace Chapel. I am so encouraged by all of the young folks that are here and your desire to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that through the course of the meeting that the Lord Jesus Christ will be exalted and that your soul will be edified. Have desire to speak to you out of Exodus chapter 17. Exodus chapter 17. There's a lesson that's taught here that upon two different occasions, I have specifically tried to use this topic to encourage young ministers and churches that have just called a minister to pastor them. Exodus chapter 17, verse 12. Just look at a portion of this, and then we'll back up and read the story here. But Moses' hands were heavy. Moses' hands were heavy. Say, well, Brother Stephen, what could that have to do with anything today? How could we relate to that? Well, I believe that we, as we look at this lesson, that we'll see that there are some challenges, but there is also some encouragement in the midst of the challenges. When I am aware of struggles that ministers face to the point that they're almost ready to pitch in the towel, I'm aware that the hands can become heavy. Now, let's look at the story here. And here the folks, if you go back, you can see that the folks were murmuring and chiding against Moses. And it comes on down. And it says that, verse 9, "And Moses said unto Joshua, Choose out men and go and fight with Amalek tomorrow. And I'll stand at the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand." Now, the minister of God, if he is a man of God, if he's chosen of God, he has something special, not in and of himself, but of God. And here Moses had the rod of God in his hand. All right, we'll look at the rest of the story here. It says, "So Joshua did as Moses had said to him, and fought with Amalek, and Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill." Now it's important to note that there were three that were there. Aaron and Hur. It says, "Moses went up to the top of the hill, and it came to pass that when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed." Now I want you to consider the setting here. They were in battle, and as long as Moses was up on the top of the hill, able to hold up his hand with the rod of God in his hand, it says that Israel prevailed. As long as they were able to see the hand of Moses holding up the rod of God, it says Israel prevailed. Well, he says, but Moses' hands were heavy. How long does it take for you to hold your arms up before they begin to get just a little bit heavy? And if you begin to hold some weight up, it begins to get even heavier. He says, but Moses' hands were heavy. Well, what did they do then? But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, put under Moses, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. Now, let me tell you, I believe that you, as brothers and sisters in Christ, as members of the Church of Jesus Christ, that you are the Aarons and Hers. You are. Now, let me ask you this. You're either holding the arms up or you're pulling them down.
you are. Holding them up or pulling them down.
If you're so in discord, you're pulling on those arms. And it gets mighty weighty. He says that they had Aaron on one side, Hur on the other side, and they held up the arms, the one on one side and the other on the other side, and the hands were steady until the going down of the sun. Now, Philippians chapter 2. Let's look at Moses being representative of the man of God. Philippians chapter 2, verse 19. If you've been blessed with a pastor in your church, there's a lot of folks representing a variety of churches right here. If you are blessed to have a pastor in your church, praise God for it. There's a lot of folks right now that don't have pastors in the churches. And so if you have a pastor, thank the Lord for your pastor. Praise God for it. Now, look at what Paul says right here about Timothy in 2nd chapter of Philippians, verse 19. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know of your state, for I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, and not the things which are Jesus Christ. Here he says that I'm sending a man of God to you that cares for your state, that has a burden for you, that has a heart for you. He has a special burden for you. He says the Lord places the burden within the man of God, and he has a heart for you. You'll never know the hours that your pastor lies awake at night praying for you. You'll never know the struggles that he has on your behalf based on your spiritual condition. Your pastor can see the trials and the struggles that you face in life, and your pastor goes before the Lord and pleads on your behalf for you. Many times that you're not ever probably aware of. Now, let's go to 2 Corinthians. It's addressed again in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. The Apostle Paul, it's interesting right here that in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, the Apostle Paul gives us a list. You can go down and read all of the list of challenges that the Apostle Paul has faced in the ministry. And some of these are great challenges. He talks about being beaten. He talks about being stoned. He talks about being in the perils of water, in the perils of countrymen. He gives a description in weariness, in painfulness, in watchings, in hunger and thirst, in fastings, often in cold and in nakedness. Now, somebody comes on the scene and they say, well, pastoring a church is an easy profession. That's an easy job. There's just not much that the pastor has to do. If the pastor shows up on Sunday morning and brings a message that is pleasing to the ears, then we're thankful we have a good pastor. Well, let's look at what the Apostle Paul said right here. He gives a whole list of the challenges that he has faced in his life. And then he comes right down here in verse 28. And he says, besides those things which are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of the churches. There's a great challenge and a great responsibility for the man of God who is accountable to God for that group of folks that he is to pastor. If you have a pastor right now, thank God for him. And pray that God would bless you to be Aaron's and hers, to encourage him in his labors. In Acts chapter 20, the apostle tells us in verse 20, he says, verse 19, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, how that I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and taught you publicly and from house to house. The Apostle Paul says,
in teaching you and in preaching to you. He said, I didn't hold anything back. Now, as a minister, oftentimes there's some areas in the ministry that we'd prefer not to have to address. But God's Word calls us to address it, and we are to address it whether it is comfortable, whether it is pleasing, whether it's something that we're going to receive a handshake from afterwards. We're to declare unto God's people the whole counsel of God. Now, if you can't hear it in the Lord's church, you're not going to hear it anywhere. I'm so thankful that Brother Eric Winchell is here from New York State. And every year there is an annual meeting up there up near Shokan, New York. And some of the same folks come. And this last year, a lady came and she was talking afterwards. And she said, there's just rarely a place that you can go to and actually hear a message that is directly from God's Word. She said, there's just not any place that I know that I can go in this area that I can actually hear a message that comes directly from God's Word. Listen, we should pray that God would bless our ministers to preach His Word and to preach the whole counsel of God. Because if we're not going to hear it in the Lord's church, there's no place that we're going to hear it. What a blessing it is that you have that you can come together and hear the preaching of God's Word out of God's book. It's not something that that the pastor has devised, but it's what God has to say. Now, if we're called to hold up the arms of Moses, as Aaron and Hur actually did, I'd like to look at three ways specifically. There's many, many more, and you may be thinking of many ways that you can hold up the arms of your pastor. The pastor becomes discouraged just like you do. Satan delights to bring about a season of discouragement in a pastor. In fact, it's said that Charles Spurgeon, who was a great man of God, who delivered many messages on God's sovereignty and the gospel of grace, experienced great seasons of discouragement. But God has designed some Aarons and Hurs along the way to be an encouragement to the pastor. Now keep in mind, you're either holding up the arms or you're pulling them down. You are. Three ways that you can hold up the arms of your pastor. That all of us here can. All of us. Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. You remember the story of Peter and how that he was in jail for delivering the message and how that the folks were praying for him. But some of them were praying and not really believing. How many times do we pray? Do we go through the motions of praying, but we aren't really praying, believing? We say, Lord, I know You're able, but sometimes we have that measure of unbelief. Lord, I believe, but help mine unbelief. Well, the first thing that you can do, the very first thing that you should do for your pastor is pray for him. The very best way that you can encourage and hold up the arms of your pastor is pray for him. We had a dear old sister that was 95 years old, that was very infirmed, and the last several years she was not able to come to church. And it was such a blessing to be able to go to her home and visit with her. And she said, Brother Stephen, she said, every morning I pray for the church and I pray for you. Well, you know, when the Lord took that sister home, I kind of missed her prayers, if you will. Because I knew that that sister was praying every morning for the church and myself. Listen, pray for your pastor. Hold him up in prayer. You can go to James chapter 5 and you can see that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. Are we to believe in prayer? Absolutely we are. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth. A little bit? No. A whole bunch. Much. Now go to Luke chapter 18 and you can see the situation of the widow there with the unjust judge and how that she was to be persistent in prayer. You say, well, the Lord hasn't heard my prayer. It seems like He's not answering my prayer. It seems like He doesn't hear me. Does that mean that we're to stop praying? No. The lesson that's taught right here in Luke chapter 18 is that we are to be persistent in prayer. Continue in prayer. Continue to hold up the arms of your pastor in prayer. You say, maybe the messages are not suiting my case. Maybe it seems like the Spirit is a little bit gone. Then the best one to talk to about it is the Lord. It is. Don't pick up the phone and start calling other folks and start downing the pastor. But you go to the Lord. You do. So hold up your pastor in prayer. Pray for him that God will bless him with wisdom. James chapter 1 tells us that if any man lack wisdom, let him ask it of God, which giveth a little bit. No, that giveth liberally. And by the way, he doesn't upbraid us for asking him. He doesn't. So first of all, go before the Lord and pray on behalf of your pastor to the Lord that God will bless him with wisdom. Pray that He'll bless him with wisdom. Pray that God will bless your pastor with judgment. A lot of decisions that your pastor has to make, a lot of situations that he faces that you may not ever be aware of. In fact, sometimes Satan is right there just chomping at the bit to get his foot in the door, and your pastor has to be on guard and pray that God will bless your pastor with the proper judgment to make the right decisions. Pray for wisdom. Pray for judgment for your pastor. Now, you young folks wouldn't understand this next one, but those of us that have hit middle age, we begin to understand this a little bit more. Pray for your pastor that God will bless him with strength. With strength. The last few years I have had situations that I was faced with that I became so weary physically that I just didn't think that I could continue on. And yet I knew that it was the Lord that was providing the strength. Had one brother call, and I'd been up all night with one brother and thankful to have the privilege of being able to do it. And the Lord called him home. And while we were there making the funeral arrangements, received another phone call from the son of Elder Lowry. And he said, "Can you come down? Dad has just passed away." Well, pray that God will bless your pastor with the strength that he stands in need of. Whether he's 20 years old or whether he's 60 years old, pray that God will bless him with the strength that he stands in need of. Pray that God will bless him with just exactly the right messages. Sometimes, and I'm encouraged by this, I'll go to church and deliver a message, and somebody will say, "That's just exactly what I was reading." Well, now, the key to that is that you've got to be reading first. It's not likely that's going to happen if you're not reading God's Word. "That's just exactly what I was reading," or "That's just a question that I had." Remember several years ago that a couple came up through the handshake, and I'd actually preached out of Ephesians. I think it was chapter 2 out of Ephesians. And a couple came through the handshake, and he said, after services, he said, "My wife and I had just argued about a portion of Scripture that you preached on this morning." And he said, "What you preached satisfied both of us." Well, I knew that wasn't me. It had to be the Lord. And I didn't ask any more questions. I just stopped it right there. So I'm just totally satisfied to give the Lord all the glory for that. So you pray that God will bless your pastor to bring the message that is going to be needful and beneficial for you, and then we shouldn't be surprised when he does it. We shouldn't. Because if the pastor is praying that God will put upon his heart, not what he wants to preach, but what our Heavenly Father wants him to preach, and if you are praying to that end as well, then isn't the Lord glorified when he blesses that to be the case? So, one of the best ways that you can hold up the arms of your pastor is pray for him. Bathe him in prayer. Every day, pray for your pastor. Now, the next one. And you folks are such an encouragement to see you here and to see that you've taken away from the things of the world to be here, and that this is a priority for you to worship the Lord. The second one is, and this is a great encouragement to your pastor. It's glorifying to your Heavenly Father, but it's a great encouragement to your pastor. It's a great encouragement in holding up the arms of your pastor if you fulfill this second one right here. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, so much more as you see the day approaching. What's he saying right there? Just simply, when you have an opportunity in your church to be there and worship, that you're there in your seat to worship the Lord. I'm sorry, but one of the most discouraging things that a pastor faces is that for the pastor to study on a message throughout the week to bring to the congregation, and then when you get to church, to find out that they're not there. You can come up with a whole host of reasons. And don't be surprised if your pastor hadn't heard them before. I had one brother that told me, he said, just tell the folks that they don't need to bring the reasons to the pastor, but they need to take them to the Lord. See if it's acceptable with the Lord. It ought to be a priority in our life to be in the Lord's house, in the Lord's service. Now, if you're there in your place, fulfilling the role that God has blessed you to have, you're going to be an encouragement to your pastor. If you're praying for your pastor and you're there, you're going to be an encouragement to your pastor. I don't know how many times I've heard folks say, well, I'm sorry I wasn't there. I heard it was such a good meeting. Or it seems like always when I'm gone, they have those best meetings. Well, the best way to avoid that is to actually be there. So, number two, the best way that you can hold up the arms of your pastor is to fulfill the role that God has blessed you to be right there in your place, supporting your pastor. Now, Elder Sonny Piles said that if you're not in your place when the doors are open, you have just cast your vote that you didn't think they ought to have services that day. Now, that sounds pretty dramatic. But actually, is that not the case? That I didn't think it was that important to me that I should be there, so as a result, I cast my vote. The best way that you can encourage your pastor, number one, is to pray for him. Number two is to make it a priority in your life that you'll be there when the doors are open. Now, most all of you here, I assume, are able to get to church within a reasonable time and a reasonable distance. Now, I doubt that all of us are quite as convenient as Elder Guess is right across the parking lot, but what a blessing it is to you if you're able to drive to church, if you're able to get your family ready and to be at church. If you can do it, pray that God will bless you to be there when you sing the first song.
Because that is a time that you can worship the Lord together as a corporate body when you sing those songs. The song service is not a time just to make the preparation for the worship service, but that is the time that we can begin our worship. Now, the two times that I've talked on that at my home church, two different times that I've specifically encouraged the folks in my home church to be there on time, the very next service I was late for. Had a flat tire one time and locked the keys in the car the next time. So I hope that I don't miss the afternoon service, but to the best of your ability, be there to worship the Lord. It'll be a great encouragement to your pastor in holding up his arms. We have a family that Brother Andrew is, they're dear to him and myself, that live up in New Jersey. They dedicate Sunday to be the Lord's Day. They recognize that it's the Lord's Day. And they load up their six children when they're all at home. One's in college. And they'll drive from New Jersey down to Bel Air, Maryland, which is about 2.5 to 3 hours. They'll attend morning services there. And then after lunch, they'll drive from there up to Southampton, Pennsylvania, which is closer to their home, for an afternoon service at 4 o'clock there. And then they drive home that evening. They dedicate their service to the Lord on the Lord's Day. And should we not all do that? So the second way that you can hold up the arms of your pastor, by the way, Psalms chapter 73, it talks about that Asaph here, that he began to see the prosperity of the wicked. I think I mentioned that the last time that I was here. He began to see the prosperity of the wicked. And it says that his eyes and his mind began to wander in that direction. And he thought, that's not quite so bad. Until he went to the sanctuary of the house of the Lord. And he said, then I understood their end. There's a great blessing of being in the Lord's house for the Lord's people. It helps us bring things into perspective. It does. When we're away from the Lord's house, the first time that we miss, it might be a little bit difficult, but the more that we begin to miss, the easier that it becomes, is it not? Remember someone making the comparison about a jar, a gallon jar of those great big dill pickles? The very first one that you pull out, it's kind of hard sometimes because they're packed in there. And you might even break it off. But the more that you begin to pull out, the easier it comes. And sometimes that's the case with missing church. Pray that God will bless you in your home church to be an encouragement to your pastor. And by the way, this not only is an encouragement to your pastor, but it's an encouragement to your brothers and sisters in the church as well. It sure is. So pray that God will bless you to be able to do that as well. Number three. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. If God was in the matter to send you a pastor, if your pastor has a heart for the Lord and a heart for the truth of Jesus Christ and desires to declare unto you the whole counsel of God, if you're praying for your pastor, if your pastor is praying to the Lord, if you're there and you're in your place to support and to worship Jesus Christ, you don't just go there to please the pastor, but you go there to worship the Lord. But in the midst of that, it is an encouragement to your pastor. So if you're there and you're praying for your pastor and you're in your place worshiping the Lord, then number three is a real good one to hold up the arms of your pastor. Your pastor knows some of the struggles that you face. He does. He knows some of the crafty approaches of Satan as well. He knows some of the experiences that God's people have faced in times past. He knows some of the examples that are taught in the Scripture about God's people stumbling and falling along the way. And so your pastor is watching out for you, and he is accountable to God. Now, let's look at what he says right here. Verse 17. Obey them which have rule over you. And submit yourselves. I used to have a lady that I worked with, and she was up in years, and when she would get sick, she would rarely go to the doctor, but when we would finally get her to go to the doctor and the doctor would write a prescription out, she'd say, I'm not going to take it. I'm not. Well, what's the benefit in going to the doctor if you're not going to take the medicine? Look at what he says right here. Obey them that have rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. And that they must give account, and that they do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you. When your pastor goes to the Lord in prayer seeking the Lord's direction, when your pastor brings a message before the flock and you resist it or you deny it, or you say, that doesn't apply to me, that doesn't suit my case, you're not submitting to the teaching that the Lord has put upon the heart of your pastor. One of the most discouraging things for a pastor is to see the direction that somebody's going and to try from God's Word to direct them in the right way, and they blatantly reject it. That's a great discouragement to pastors. It is. Pray. You may say, well, I just don't think that suits my case. Well, pray about it. That God will convict your heart and He will show you, and that it will be something that you can apply and use in your life, that it will bring about repentance in your life and bring about a change in your life. Pray that it will be to the glory of God and to your benefit. Obey them that have rule over you. Not ruling with a rod of iron, but those that love you and care for you and watch out for your souls. We offer prayer oftentimes for the physical needs of each one, but how much are we reminded of the spiritual needs that God's people face? Number three, obey them that have rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, that they must give account. I don't understand that completely, but I do believe that there's an accountability that God's ministers have to God. It's the responsibility of God's ministers to deliver the message to God's people in love. It is. For they watch for your souls, that they must give account, and that they may do it with joy. Elder George Johnson, my pastor out in West Texas, said, I don't want to be the type of church member that when I'm thought of by the pastor, that the pastor has to take to Excedrins. I don't want him to have to take a painkiller when he thinks of me. I want somebody to be able to think of me with joy and not with sorrow. And that's what he's saying right here. He says that when your pastor thinks of you, how does he think of you? Is it somebody that sits back and murmurs and complains? Is it somebody that always finds something wrong? Listen, they don't have to look far to find something wrong with me. I know that. I become more discouraged with self, I'm sure, than they become discouraged with me. So they don't have to look very far for that, because I can understand that. But I understand that we are to exercise love and compassion, and we're to be long-suffering one with another, because we're all sinners just saved by the grace of Almighty God, are we not? And here he says that they may do it with joy and not with grief. He says, oh, by the way,
that's not profitable for you. If your pastor thinks of you and he thinks of you, and it brings about a measure of sorrow because you've either rejected the Word of God blatantly in your life, or you've sown discord in your life, or you've been contentious, or you're murmuring, or you're complaining all the time, he says, that's not profitable to you. Now, Proverbs chapter 6 says that there's six things, yea, seven, that the Lord hates. And the last one is one that sows discord among the brethren. If somebody's sowing discord, I don't believe they're just troubling the church. Well, I believe they are, and certainly it brings about a lot of trouble and havoc within the church. But if somebody's sowing discord, I believe that they're messing with the Lord. And the Lord loves His church, and you can step back and watch and wait and see. And you'll see the hand of God eventually come upon them. Romans chapter 16 says, mark them which cause divisions or contentions among you. And what does He say? Let them be your best buddy. Avoid them. I want to put a little bit of distance between myself and somebody that's sowing seeds of discord in the church. Now, pray that God will bless you to, number one, hold your arms of your pastor up in prayer. Pray that God will bless you to make it of utmost priority in your life and in the life of your family to just simply be there and worship the Lord in spirit and in truth with all the zeal that you have to worship the Lord. To be there and worship the Lord. And number three, pray that God will bless you to receive the teaching of God's Word that your pastor brings forth, and that it will bring a change in your life. If you do those three things, you're being Aaron's and hers. You're holding up the arms of your pastor. And as you hold up the arms of your pastor, as the children of God were victorious, so will you as a church. I believe that the success of the church solely depends upon our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and His blessings. But He oftentimes does it through God's people. The blessings of the church is not solely dependent upon solely the pastor. But it's the pastor and the flock united together to serve the Lord. In Acts, we're taught of a dear couple, Aquila and Priscilla. I want to be an Aquila, not a Priscilla, but I want to be an Aquila. Because they're referred to as helpers in Christ. Remember, old brother Apollos was just a little bit off base on something. And do you know it's interesting that they didn't declare non-fellowship with him? They didn't. They didn't say, well, Apollos, I've heard of that character. Pick up the phone or get on the internet and say, Apollos is out of order. But what did they do? Gently taught him. It also tells us something about the spirit of Apollos. He was receptive to the teaching of Aquila and Priscilla. Pray that God will bless you to be a helper in Christ, to be Aquila's and Priscilla's, and that you'll be an encouragement to others and an encouragement to your pastor. Pray that you'll be used as Aaron's and hers. May God bless you is our prayer.